men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change conditions, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Glory to God. Can we just put hands together for the King of Kings? I mean, celebrate your Creator, the Giver of Life. Can you rejoice? Rejoice! Amen. I wanted to welcome at least three persons to service this evening. Just welcome them to your left and to your right. Welcome at least three persons to service. It's good to have you in service tonight. You are welcome. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to first and foremost give thanks to God for the privilege He has afforded us to be beneficiaries of His agenda, to be partakers of what the Lord is doing. We bless His name. Hallelujah. And then secondly, I want to appreciate every one of us for our commitments and our sacrifices, especially making ourselves available for service tonight. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Very shortly, we're going to the Word of God. But please, wherever you are, can you just lift up your right hand and ask that the Lord will bring understanding to your heart. We are coming into the main part of the discussion on humility. The Lord is helping us. We are coming into the core part of this discussion. So can we ask that the Lord will flood our hearts with deposits of wisdom, deposits of understanding. I told you last Sunday that the giving of the Spirit is for understanding, is for the teaching of the things that will aid our existence. So can you just pray and say, Lord, concerning this matter of humility, concerning this matter of biblical humility, let understanding flow into my heart. Let understanding flow into my heart. Let the virtue of humility become so real. Let it become so real. Let it become so real in my heart. Let it become so real. Let it become so real in my heart. Let the understanding of the virtue of humility, let it become so real in my heart. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, let your word be so graphical. Let it be so expressive. Let it be so plain. Let it be such that will position me rightly for a better standard of living. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. We'll be looking at the series, The Grace of the Humble. I think this should be part 5 now. The Grace of the Humble, part 5. And in this part, we are going to be looking at marks of humility. Marks of humility. Evidences of humility. What are those things you would see in the life of someone, and then you can be able to say this person is humble? Let's turn our Bibles to that verse of scripture we read, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. We can look at it from the NLT. It said, you younger men, accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility. For God sets himself against the proud, but he chose favor to the humble. Verses together, everybody want to read? So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 7. Let's read it from the Amplified. You can look up the screen. He said, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Verse 8. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. So there is, you can be more humble. Glory to God. Maybe you think, oh, pastor is saying, I know I'm humble. But the Bible says he went further. Glory to God. Tell neighbor, you can go further in humility. You can go further in humility. So the Bible says he obeys and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Let's read what happened next. He said, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. Father, we thank you for your word. I'm asking that you will bring understanding to the heart of the people. Pray that these words will become so precise, will become so plain, will become so simple. Let it bring light to our hearts. And more than anything else, let it stir up a desire for humility in our heart. Let the power that makes for lowliness of mind be released upon every hearer, so that at the end of this discussion, every saint will be edified, and then Jesus will be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Glory to God. And no doubt, if you have been following the series, you realize that there are so much benefit tied to the virtue of humility. Glory to God. One of the things that I began to look into for the last 2 days is the desire of God to have people on earth that look exactly like him. Now, please, I wanted to note this. The plan of God is in two dimensions. Now, number one, God wants individuals to be saved. Amen. And then number two, those individuals that have become saved, God wants them together to live as a community. Amen. Do you understand that? So God is not only interested in individual salvation, he's also interested in cultural transformation. I'll say that again. God is not only interested that Emeka gets saved, Shade gets saved, Mercy gets saved. God also wants them to get saved and then live together as a common people. By the grace of God, in the month of April, we're going to be looking at that more extensively. So what I'm trying to say is this: your salvation may be personal, but its effect must be communal. Do we get that? Even though you are saved as an individual, God wants your salvation to also spread. He wants it to affect your society. He wants it to affect your place of work. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 5, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." Verse 14 of Matthew 5. He said, "You are the salt of the earth." So you must understand that God is not only interested. Are you following me now? Verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth." Now, God is not just interested in your singular salvation. He wants us, if he's saved, he wants every one of us to now have a common kind of life. Now, that common kind of life is what we refer to as community. Say with me, community. Do we get that now? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, if you read verse 13, he said, "Till we all come." You get that now? Give it to us in New King James. He said, "This till we all come to the unity of the faith, one, and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He's not talking about individual. Everybody say, "Till we all." Every one of us. So God is not saying he should be humble, she should not be humble. No. God is saying he wants to look at the people and then he is seeing common qualities in their lives. Do we get that now? Let's read Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 45. The Bible says, "They sold their possession good and divided among one as men that need." Verse 46. He said, "So continue daily with one accord in the breaking of bread from house to house. They eat their food with gladness and simplicity of what? Of heart." Now that's humility. Praising God and having favor with the people. Simplicity of heart. Praising God and having favor. "And the Lord added to them daily who we have been what?" Say verse 48. Let's start from 43. Said, "Now then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." So 44, he said, "Now all who believe were together and had all things." Did you see that? And had what? Give it to us in Amplified. He said, "All who believe, who adhered to, trusted in and relied on Jesus, we're united and together. They had everything in what? In common." Did you take note of that? They had everything. It means that these virtues we are talking about were so what? Strong among them. Are we following? So the goal of God is not just individual salvation. That's the point I'm trying to establish. Now, many of you have heard people say, "I'm born again. I can serve God in my house. Let me just be at home. No need for church." It's not true. The reason you were born again is not so you alone will go to heaven. No. In Habakkuk, the Bible says, "The whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God." What the Bible is trying to talk about was referring to what Jesus said. He said, "And it shall come to pass that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh." So meaning the deepest desire of God is to look at a set of people and realize that there is a strong aura of humility oozing from their midst. Do we get that now? Do you understand what we are saying? Strong one. Meaning that he alone shouldn't be humble. Humility should be a core lifestyle among everyone. Say with me, everyone. So that's what the scripture said. How many things do they have in common? All things. They had all things in common. So that's the desire of God. And the Spirit of God was making me realize that that was their power in the early church. That was what made them so what? Powerful. You know, most times we want the act of apostles' experience. Glory of the Lord, come on me. Ragadaba lagada. I want to do mighty works. Listen to this. It's good. But the potency, the power of the early church was in their common identity. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't come to their midst and see something that is foreign to the lifestyle of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you go and stay with Pastor Chibike, the same experience you will have when you go and stay with Mojet. The virtues are so palpable. Do you understand what we are saying? I mean, if by chance you meet one of them and stay and leave, if you would think it's the same person you are staying with, that's what the Bible meant by what? All things in common. That I know with them, I'm safe. Glory to God. Their lifestyle is exemplary. The same character you find in one, good. The same character you find where? In the other. They had it in common. So that's why when we look at them, we look at them as one people. They were so one. Amen. How many of you believe it's possible? It's possible. Glory to God. Say with me, it's possible. So God is interested in our way of life. He's interested in our way of life. If you read some of the admonitions that Apostle Paul gave, most of them were the same. Everybody, they were the same. Say with me, they were the same. Look at that Colossians 3. Let's look at Colossians 3. He said, Verse 7, NLT. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. He said, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. See verse 9. Don't lie to each other, for you have what? Stripped off your old nature. And all is wicked. So in his place, you have clothed yourself with a brand new what? Nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ. Now let me tell you what was their strongest point. Now, apart from the fact that they received the Holy Spirit, everybody say they learned well. So with me, they learned well. Humility is learned. Their commonality was as a result of the quality of their doctrine. They were fed with a balanced doctrine. They were available to learn. Not that one will be available on Monday, another one will not be available. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, they were living together. You see, one of the challenges we have had today is that believers, especially in some quarters, we are too isolated. That's the reason why it looks like the Spirit of God is not flowing. Thank God for a place like KDC that somehow we have a way we meet outside Sunday. We have this sense of togetherness. In fact, in some places, church is just like you are going to... Your place of work is even more of a community than church. You just come on Sunday, you are ushered in church, close, you have gone home. I get what I'm saying. The early church was not like that. They lived together. So their unity and communality was so solid that even from afar, you could see virtues oozing out from their midst. I get what I'm saying. If we will restore back the design of God, we must never be isolated. I would have read something to you. I read early this morning, late last night, early this morning. Was talking about how the desire of God is to change individuals and also change structures. The reason why we are not able to affect our nation is because we have not learned enough to impose these virtues even among ourselves. You didn't hear what I said? Do you know that some Christians still lie to fellow Christians? Some people still lie to themselves. I mean, you go and buy something from a believer. I mean, a believer, supposed believer. What he will not do to an unbeliever, he will do to you without even blinking eyes. So, when Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesian church, he now said, the reason why you are behaving like this is because you have your mind have not been renewed. In other words, you have not so learned. Ephesians 4 verse 20. He said, you have not so what? So learned. So these virtues, he said, but this isn't what you learned about Christ. So the quality of your life is determined by the practicality of your learning. Learn. Church is not where you come and feel good. You know, I've had people make statements like, that church, they don't dance, they don't sing, they don't do those things. No, church is a school. Just imagine I go to class next week Tuesday and I carry a loudspeaker and I told them, today we're going to be doing QTS, BLD, 407. And then we're going to have our singing time for 15 minutes. Oh yeah, play the song. Everybody, let's start dancing. How many times have they done that in your class? What school is to the society is what church is to the kingdom of God. So any virtue that God wants you to display, you don't just sit in your room and say, Lord, baptize me with the spirit of humility. Baptize me with the spirit of humility. No. Everybody say, you learn it. You look for a teacher. Pastor, teach me how to be humble. Amen. It's taught. It's taught. You want to stop lying? Look for a man of God to teach you how to stop lying. It's taught. Stop expecting a breeze to just blow on you, whoo, and then you start speaking truth. No. You learn it. Say it with me. We learn it. He said, for this is not what you learned. If you read the next verse, verse 20, he said, if, 21, he said, since you have heard about Jesus, are you seeing that? And have what? Learned the truth that comes from him. The next thing you will now see are responsibilities. Throw off. Did you see that? So it is in your learning that you throw off. For example, you are here, you are humble, but you want to be more humble, you learn it. The Bible says he stooped low. Everybody say responsibility. He stooped low. It didn't say the Spirit of God helped him to stoop low. No, he stooped low. It's a decision you make. For example, you are here saying, I'm not going to tell lies. And then you are under a teacher teaching you how not to lie. Because if you are going to overcome lying, if you want me to teach you how to overcome lying, there are a few things I'll teach you. Once I've taught you those things, not lying will become so what? So easy. Tell neighbor, it's learned. Humility is learned. It's learned. See, when you were not born again, Satan was your school teacher. The Adamic nature was your instructor. So from childhood, you learned how to be a liar. So for you to stop lying, you have to what? Unlearn it by learning truth. That's how it works. So if you have itching ears, you are the type of believers that don't like listening to teaching. Are you following me? You don't like listening to what? Teachings. You don't like listening to teachers. Are we here? You don't like listening to teachers. You can never be sound. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can never be sound. The department of sound doctrine is in sound teaching. The department of spiritual maturity is sound doctrine. That's what I meant to say. It is the soundness of your doctrine that will determine the quality of your character. You learn character by one, planting yourself in the right environment. One, two, learning from the right instructions. If you give birth to a child, take the child to where? Praise God. Take the child to where they don't lie. How many of you know that even children, you see these kids we have? You see these kids we have? Do you know that if you don't teach them how to speak, say the truth, by default, they will start lying? Are we here? How many of you know that? Look up, everybody. I have kids. I know what I'm telling you. There is always this self-protection system that the Adamic nature puts in us. I mean, Dominion and Caris, we have to teach them how not to lie. I mean, sometimes you even have to start motivating them that, see, anytime you say the truth, I'll buy biscuit for you. Now, it's not like it's permanent. It's just a way to teach them how not to what? How not to lie. Because if you leave them like that, before your very eyes, your children will become liars. So whatever virtue, whatever character that you want anybody to display, the person must be taught. It must be taught. You go back to the curriculum. But unfortunately, somehow, we, this generation of Christians, we prefer learning the gymnastics. I mean, you see some people, they rehearse tongues. How to speak in tongues, they rehearse it. Yes, they rehearse prayer, rehearse a lot of things. But the truth is, character development and formation must also be what? Included in the rehearsal. You need to rehearse how to be humble. You need to learn it. It is not a default character. Are we together? It is not a what? A default character. You don't say, because I'm born again, now I'm the humblest. No. The Bible says, he stooped low and further humbled himself. You see what we read? He said, throw off. That's the responsibility. So that's why, for the kingdom life to be lived, there must be a blend of preaching and teaching. Say with me, preaching and teaching. Preaching and what? And teaching. I never knew these were different until I met my Smoro of blessed memory. I was still listening to him last night. He was so loud. He said, a church that preaches but doesn't teach will not model kingdom culture. Preaching is declarative. Teaching is deliberate. It is a curriculum. Is a pattern of sound doctrine. He said to the unbelievers, we preach to declare the acceptable year of the Lord's salvation. He's a preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's a preaching. God wants you to be saved. He's a preaching. But teaching, you now begin to explain the reason for salvation. The dynamics of salvation. The goal of salvation. The agents of salvation. Teaching. He said that the man of God might be what? Thoroughly furnished. Equipped unto all good works. So that's why in that Ephesians 4 said, you have not so learned. This isn't what you learned. So, he said in Matthew 28, he said, go make disciples. Teaching them. Did you see that? Teaching them to observe. Teaching them. Character is taught. Virtue is not imparted. Virtue is learned. Is learned by instruction. It's learned by observation. Is learned by practice. It's learned by correction. And then it's learned by accountability. He said, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. He said, the things that you have received among many witness, these also commit to faithful men who will do what? Who will teach others also. The quality of your character, the soundness of your character as a believer is determined by the content of your teaching. Whatever culture you want to see exhibit in a nation, it must be modeled, it must be taught, it must be corrected, it must be practiced. And that's why anybody that abhors correction, that hates correction, can never attain to the fullness of maturity. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, rebuke, reproof. You do know that? Rebuke. Rebuke. He said, those that are from Kresh. Is it Kresh? Yes, I'll be Kresh. Say some things about them. He said, so when you go back, do what? Rebuke them. So the point is this. Two things I've been trying to establish. Spirit of God lay so strong in my heart. Number one, your salvation must culminate into community what? Living. Become saved as an individual, but express the fruit of your salvation as a what? As a community. Do you understand? Are we together? As a community. People should be able to say, you see that place? If you go around and live among those people, to lie will become very difficult. You can't even lie. Are we together? How many of you know that there is a community you can go to and you will solidly begin to cooperate? Okay, let's not talk too far. Let me just carry you to Navy School here in Ofa. I mean Navy School of Earth Science. I'll just carry you there. We'll pass the gate. We'll say, okay, want to go and do something. And then we'll say, you should walk in. See, you see that chewing gum when you hold the paper. Fear no go make you drop and for ground. Do you understand? I mean, by the time you look the environment, you see that biscuit when you finish eating, fear no go allow you drop the paper for ground. Not be say anybody go tell you say no drop and more. Just by the way the environment is, you will just coordinate yourself. So meaning that inside of us, there is a capacity for coordination. But sometimes the reason why that capacity is not expressed is because the environment is not available. So God is saying, I am saving you so that you will create that environment. So that's why when you become born again and you come into church and you are misbehaving, we are trying to correct you, you are getting angry. That means you don't belong here. Do you understand? He said, for out of Zion shall proceed the root. Orderliness. So that's why you come here to learn. You know, sometimes you finish dressing and then they call you back and say, no, you can't go out like this. What's wrong with what I'm dressing? You can't go out like this. And then you go back and change. Glory to God. Amen. You know, you can't go out like this. There's a place of teaching. So, a necessity for imbibing the culture is honor. It's humility. So that's why we are teaching on humility. That if we must attain this desire of God for commonality, we must be a humble people. Meaning that we should never at any point in time think we are better than another person. Keep ourselves low. Keep our heart low. Why would Judas Iscariot betray Jesus with a kiss? They had spent life together that they all look like. They resemble themselves. So if he sent him to the garden like that, he might carry Peter and think he's Jesus. So he said, when you get there, when I kiss him, know he's the one.
become so common by fellowship? I mean, how can we be fellowshiping among ourselves and our character are foreign? Some character are foreign. Paul said, root them out, take them away. That's why when you behave certain way, and then even you yourself should correct yourself. I look different here. Well, imagine, like I was saying about the Navy, maybe they are having a parade or something, and then we say, okay, you are going to join them, and then you go, and then you just wear one sneaker, one tie, something. And it's even from the gate, they will not allow you to enter. Amen. They will just tell you, I don't think you are for this function, because you are not looking like where you are, what you are going to join. So you must understand that as believers, humility is a necessity if we are going to cultivate the kind of life that God wants. Glory to God. So let's look at some of the marks. Now, truly humble people are more polite and considerate. They are always focused on helping people. We are looking at marks of biblical humility. Truly humble people are more polite and what? Considerate. They are always focused on helping people. You see, you don't need to look too far to know pride. People that are proud, they hardly lend a hand of help. Why will I help you? Why will I help you? They are not sympathetic, because, like I told you in previous discussions, their eyes are always on who? Themselves. So as far as they are concerned, people should be the one to serve them, not they serving others. So truly humble people are what? Are polite. They don't speak in a way that will get you upset. They don't speak harshly. Meekness and gentility are two palpable virtues in the life of somebody that is humble. We'll come to that very soon. And then, humble people don't find it okay to boast about themselves, but they let their actions speak for their ideals. I mean, humble people don't find it okay to boast about themselves. Instead, they allow their actions to speak for them. How many of you can relate with that? But really humble people, they don't like talking about themselves. They are not braggadoes and braggadish. They don't brag. Yes, cool. And then, it's important we take note of this. To be humble is not to think less of oneself, but to think of oneself less. To be humble is not to think less of oneself, but to think of oneself less. Do you get that now? To be humble does not mean that you write off yourself. I mean, nobody. I don't have anything. I'm stupid. I'm this. No, that's not what he's saying. He's simply saying that you don't put yourself at the peak of all you think. Your thinking pattern is not about you. That's what it means. Is that okay? Meaning that in your thinking, you don't always want yourself to be the bigger picture. Just let me help them. Let them eat. Let them be fine. Just, I'll sort myself out. Glory to God. Amen. And then let's look at 15 marks of humble people. 15 marks of humble people. That one was introduction. Amen. That one I was saying was introduction. Now the marks we won't look now. How do you identify humble people? And the opposite of it is true for those that are proud. Is that okay? And whenever we have teachings like this, don't try to start using these marks to be checking those that are proud around you. Gauge it into your own life. Is that okay? Check your life. As I mentioned the mark, check your life. Praise God. So the moment you check and say, this is a pastor talk. Now maybe this. Just give yourself 10. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's not pride to be glad of the progress you have made. It's not pride. It's only become pride when you are now checking it in respect to another person. At least I better pass this person. A proud statement with that. But if you have said, oh, I thank God. I'm not where I should be, but I know at least I've tried a little. It's not pride. Is that okay? So when you see these marks, check it against your life. If you're doing well in that area, do better. Keep doing better. Indeed, in not long time from now, God will lift you up. Because the Bible says, he what? Exalts the humble. As we cultivate these virtues, we'll surely be lifted. There is grace that accompanies it. We'll be looking at that at the concluding part on Sunday. So, what are the marks? Number one, humble people do not belittle others. They do not belittle others. Write that down. They do not belittle others. They do not make others look insignificant. They don't belittle others. Say, so upon all this one, at this kind of amount, you feel give Abby. That statement is tilted with pride. Is that okay? They don't belittle others. What it means is they don't belittle the effort of others. You don't size people and knock down all they have done. You saw it when Nehemiah was building the wall. He said, see this wall that they built. Even if a fox should run around it, it will collapse. That's a statement of pride. When you belittle others. See the shop self. All the noise that they make. See how a shop people be. Never belittle others. The moment you start belittling others, it is a sign of what? Pride. So truly humble people, they don't belittle others. Number two, they have a high level of awareness. Humble people have a high level of awareness. What I call, they have mastered the art of self-control. I was still doing a study on it yesterday, how that truly humble people, because they choose to be humble, they choose to look at themselves less. So they're always very what? Aware. Because they pay attention to others a lot. Is that okay? They have a very high level of self-awareness. Truly humble people, they are masters in self-control. Because to even tell yourself, say, as I get money rich, may money not enter my head, it shows a level of what? Self-control. Because money alone get the way they make person head look like. You know how it be now. us get one kind of money now. Everybody go look like last month for your eye. Number three, you will like this one. They retain relationships. They retain relationships. Humility is a requirement for longevity of relationship. Humble people keep relationships for a very long time. Are you getting me? You know, sometimes on WhatsApp, you just see some people put up some status. If you ignore me, I ignore you. You block me, I block you. So sometimes when I see some, especially Christians, some status we put, it's because we've not so learned Christ. In fact, I entered someone's inbox. I said, this is not totally right. The person did not engage me, so I didn't say anything. You know, pride makes you think that you can just cut people off the way you like. You cut them off. And then when you now need a favor from them, you start calling your primary five classmates to get the number. That spirit of always quick to delete people's number from your phone is a pride spirit. The moment somebody just gas, just throw your finish, you just delete the number. We call it canceling spirit. Canceling spirit. Misbehave, you block, you delete. Calm down now. Life not be like that. If God begin to delete every one of us by now, where will for them? You know what he don't show God? No, let's be sincere. Man of God, you know what he don't show God? If God show up, say, may he can't talk with you, we don't show up. Even Jesus go weep. He don't cancel us. That canceling spirit. And let me tell you this. Is a sign of low self-concept. And let me tell you the truth. People that have low self-concept, they are always very proud. They have an over-bloated ego. Rubbish. I'll speak. I'll be everything. See, it's not every meme that you should put on your status. Some things are anti-godliness. There was one I saw, I can't remember. Said, if you have moved on, me too, I'll move on, and all those. They retain relationships. There's a rider to it. He's not saying that we should force ourselves on people that don't want to be with us. Is that okay? But that's not what we are saying. But they are not always the first to press the exit button. Not always the first. When you look at true humility, it's a state of being lowly, of low significance. And like I told you, they always want to help. But when they realize that you are not ready for their help, what do? Yes. In fact, there are a lot of people to be helped. So we don't delete your number, we just focus. Just refocus. Amen. No, don't delete, just refocus. Because a time will come, they may need you or you may need them. Amen. Number four. You like this one too. Humble people make difficult decisions with ease. Humble people make difficult decisions with ease. How does this happen? You see, there is something called sentiment, and there's something called conflict of interest. Now, the moment you want something more than you should want it, you will make flawed decision when that thing is in view. No, that's the truth. The moment there is sentiment, decision making becomes what? Flawed. But the moment there is neutrality, you can objectively look at the situation. And the challenge with proud people is that there is no objectivity in their reasoning. Because the only thing proud person is looking at is what I have to gain in this thing. And the moment you are looking at something and all you can see is what you can gain, decision making might become hard. Because a lot of time you will make decisions that will infringe on the desires of every other person. Remember I told you that truly humble people are ready to help. Okay, look at Solomon. Two people came. One said, my child died. And then the other one said, no, it's my child. The other one said, no, it's my child. And then Solomon said something. He said, okay, we're going to settle this matter very, very quickly. Amen. I mean, wisdom is life. And in wisdom is prudence and good judgment, which are all virtues in humility as well. So Solomon said, okay, what we're going to do is that we're going to tear this baby into two, so that you all will what? Take one part. The other man said, yes, it's okay like that. Solomon said, you are not the owner of this child. So simple. Now, what did Solomon just did? He put self. I mean, let's check who will be more selfish in this matter. Selfishness always holds foolishness. Do you get that now? Because the moment you are selfish, okay, the woman just said, no, don't kill this child. Let her have it. That means because your own don't die, you want me another person who won't die too. It's a simple way. The decision making was so quick. Why? Self was exalted. So every time you see self magnified, just know that wisdom will always be minimal in the life of that person who is selfish. So when there is true humility, decision making becomes so easy. Because at that point in time, you are not looking at what you gain. You are looking at the best what? Outcome. Do we get that now? You are looking at the best outcome. The best outcome. And so because you are looking at the best of outcome, you are ready for everyone to make their input. And this is also going with it. Number five, they put others first. Humble people put others first. You get that? I mean, Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 is there. Very, very clear. You see, if Jesus put himself first, he don't go Greek or more. He don't go come. The Bible says in Gethsemane, he was so sorrowful that he prayed the prayer. What was the prayer? He said, Father, if it is possible for this cup to pass without me drinking of it, let your will be done. He knew what he was going to be tasting. It was already abasement to even carry human body. They insulted him, call him Beelzebub, call him friends of sinners, call him friend of publicans, call him friend of prostitutes. You don't get named, they don't call Jesus. I mean, in Colossians, the Bible says Jesus was the one that made the heaven and earth. Colossians 1:15. Check it. Let's check it. Did you see that? 16. Did you see that? New King James. How did God create everything? For by him, did you see that? All things. The person when he creates you, come. You can't say him be Beelzebub. The reason the matter now. No, just imagine, say, Satan and Jesus. Say the position when Jesus denied Satan day. And then he just come and say, Beelzebub, because you all look you. You're just like, Abby? You know, Satan, they react. You don't get patience. You know, say Satan, don't get patience. You say, wait, you are Beelzebub. Talk to him again. You all do like this. You're just like, now, so you go just do four. You all call him, say, oh, yeah, come. Just imagine, say, those guys for the pilot's court, they just pick a cloth, they begin tear and cast cloth. Yeah, take your share, take your share. Satan just there, just there. From where they? The guy, now my cloth, just tear a pint. Praise God. You see, God is good, though. God is good. Satan wicked. You see the way they react? I mean, person don't betray you before. I don't see man of God. Man of God. He vex. The guy betrayed. Vex. God, they cause. Nothing go. As a man of God. God good though. God is very humble. You know the quick vex. Not the quick react. Bible says he's slow to what? To anger. He has self-awareness. You know, say this one not reach to verse. It is humility that makes you to ration out your vexation. You didn't hear what I said? It is humility that makes you to ration out. It is not reach verse now. You know, sometimes when people they vex, they all come into they give you all the matter, download all the matter for you. If you really want to be direct, you know, sometimes you are empathic, so you just use empathic. Just but if you really want to be direct and you want the real you to speak, you say, bros, now this small thing made the verse. You know, some people they tell him very small. Now small thing they verse me. Oh, now small thing they verse me. You don't need to be big, very small thing they verse me. I beg God say slow to what? Slow. So rationalizing your vexation is a virtue that humility forges in us. Is that okay? They care more about others. I mean, Jesus was the maker of heaven and earth. So Jesus finished work for humility. Sometimes I advise myself. You know, when you make up your mind to be humble, you know how to advise yourself. I speak to myself. Sometimes when I don't verse, I can't remember. I say, oh, this is only the verse. So if Jesus can't date this position where he did, you know the things when you don't do. You can't remember the killing of Jesus, the pilot. Our pilot brought him, had some small girls and women were just like, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. If now Scooby and Villala, say all those crucified, that's the word they will just be saying for the rest of their life. It shall be permanent. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. That's what they will just be talking all through their life. But you will just say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. He knew who he was. You see, sometimes when people are insulting us and we keep quiet, it's not because we don't have what to say. It's because we know who we are. That's... Humility is not stupidity. It is a self-control that comes from the fact that you know that Jesus has faced more. You know, Riato. He heard self no shake. They shook his hand. You see the kind of name they did earlier? They shook their real nails. He come out finished. He can't appear to his disciples. Ah, Jesus is here. Thomas. That worried guy. He show up. He say, not be you. He just saying not me. He said, not be you. I know where they shook you. Big nail, you show me the hand. He can't carry the hand. He can't even put the hand inside. This was humble. He humble. You know, sometimes there's something that is consistent with Christ. When you do some things that he does not expect that you do, He does not curse you. But he blessed the ones that did not do what you did. You know, because on a good day, if say Jesus that devil, you see that what Thomas do? He go give him a better slap. Shebi, he don't shake my hand finish. Woo, woo. He did not do that. I didn't know what he did. He now said, blessed are those that did not touch my hand, but they believe. You see Jesus? He would rather bless than curse. Truly humble people, they would rather bless than curse. Isn't that pride sometimes they make you the curse people anyhow? Not only phone charger the thief for where you go charge them. Not only charger, they're not thief the phone. No. Not only the charger the thief. You don't curse their life and their destiny finish. You too proud now. How much be charger? You get money, well, why you not charge your phone for your house? You know, see, I mean, there is a way humility responds. You know, if I go there, the thief might say, ah, how be this person for to? I just say, me no get gem. Sakpa, I just humble yourself. Just go look for grace to get another charger. But you see, it is, because all those unnecessary ranting are just to embarrass your generation and your poverty. Because you talk from today to tomorrow, best way I don't tip your charger, I don't tip her. You know, there is something about humility that sometimes the moment you have worked on yourself, some reactions are not necessary. It will not change it. They said a statement, you don't weep over spilled milk. Milk don't spill, it don't spill. Use cloth, clean and wash the cloth. Think of the next milk. It's a way of accepting your condition. I was reading about the psychology of humility. The writer said something. He said, truly humble people knows how to accept the situations and just move on. You can't change it. Your charger is gone, is gone. Don't embarrass your anger generation. Just quietly live and pray that the next life you will come, God will bless your family to have Lister and power supply, or you just send you to UK uninterrupted, and then you will live good life there. But before that time, humble yourself. Glory to God. And then lastly, and then we'll pray. Number 5, they listen. Humble people listen. Humble people listen. There is a difference between hearing and listening. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Listening means I'm trying to interpret what the person is what saying. I'm receiving it and I'm processing it. Is that okay? It takes humility to truly listen. Let's be on our feet. We'll pick up from there on Sunday. Have you get something tonight? So lift up your hands and say, Lord, I take on me the virtue of humility. I take on me the virtue of humility. I take on me the virtue of humility. Quickly, we are closing service already. Let's come with the communion. You see, listen, everybody. Listen. Look at me. Listening is an art, A-R-O-T. You must learn it. Number one, one that does not listen is one that concludes even before the person finishes explaining. You have not heard the person, but you have already what? Concluded. How do I know that I'm not a good listener? When I conclude, even before the person finishes speaking. Two, when I'm sentimental about what somebody is saying. He said, you that I know, we know say you're not a liar. So even if there's true in anything you are saying, it's not true. Is that okay? You have concluded. Two, you judge based on sentiment. Three, assumption. They assume. And then there is one that is very, 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 very revealing They are stereotyped. They are stereotyped. You know, listening to someone means, one, receiving the facts that the person is what? Presenting. He's saying something. Listen to the person. Truly humble people, they are very calm. You are talking like this, they will not interrupt you. Finish talking. Have you finished talking? And they don't respond based on what's in their mind. They respond based on what you have said, because they actually what? Listened. You know, to be sincere, let's be realistic, every one of you. If you really want to judge matters and you listen to someone very, very well, intelligently, you can begin to perceive if the person is saying the truth or if the person is lying. True or false? Now, so meaning the pathway to good judgment is good listening. But you can't display that virtue if you are not humble. It takes humility to listen to people. Sometimes they are talking and they are just talking. You listen. Lift up your hands. Lord, I'm empowered. I'm empowered with the capacity to listen. I listen well. I listen well. I listen. I don't rush into conclusion. See, as a pastor, you need to learn it. As a believer, you need to learn it. Sometimes your neighbors come and they present a matter to you. Don't be quick to respond. Are you following me? Listen. If possible, hear the other side. Don't just jump into a conclusion. Someone comes and says, so person says so thing about you. Verify. Did he really say it? Can we go and meet him? No, let's not go. I just came to tell you so that you know the kind of person he is. No way. We're going together. Tail bearers, separate friends. You are just a tail bearer. We are going. If the person refuses to go with you, mark that person. That's a tail bearer. Listen. When you listen very, that was why King Solomon was able to pass the judgment. He listened to the two of them. From their explanation, he knew that someone was wrong. We need to fish out the culprit. And it was so easy. Grace is available for us. Every pride is stripped off by the desire to cultivate humility.
Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need.
Wanna be broken.
Brokenness is what you want for me. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness is what you want from me.
Let's go ahead.
So take my heart and mold it.
Then go ahead and take the
cup. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours.
you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.